Okay. Last week we were talking about Satan being a fallen angel. And we were looking at some just the whole aspect of you know, the fact that Satan, along with all the other angels, were created, and you know, God created, and when he created everything, he said that it was good. So Satan, along with all the other angels, started out as a good angel. Something happened, and that caused him to fall from his relationship with God. We're going to talk about that a little bit more this morning. But what we're looking at here is, you know, who this person Satan is. Now, we've thus far seen he's a fallen angel. He's working against God. He's working, as we said last week, what's his goal? To win as many human beings, which is God's, you know, possession, his creation, to win as many of us away from God as possible. It's in a sense, it's almost like, well, that's the best way that Satan can hurt God, is by winning his creation away from him. So as we're looking at all this, the fact that there is a fall here and that Satan was involved in all that, I want to take a few minutes here this morning as we begin, and let's talk about the fact that Satan in the Scriptures has a lot of different names. Okay, we're going to look at the names of Satan and then the character of Satan. There's a lot of things the Scriptures talk about in terms of descriptives of Satan, who in that kind of a way, that all of these things, when you look at these different statements, the names that are attributed to him and the characteristics and so forth, that give us a picture of who Satan really is. Okay, and that's what we really want to come away from all of this with this morning. So I asked you last week, when we were finishing up, I told you that's what we're going to talk about. What kind of names did you find? First of all, let's look at the names of Satan. What did you find? Rick? Okay, that's more of a characteristic. What about a specific name? Okay, Beelzebub is one of them. Matthew 10. Verse 25, chapter 12, verse 24, and verse 27, Mark chapter 3, verse 22, all of these refer to Satan as Beelzebub. Okay? What else? What other names did you find? Lynette? Okay. All right. Where'd you find that one? I don't even have that one. Did you find that on Google? Okay, let's take a look at that. See, I like this. We find things that, you know. Revelation 9, verse 11. They had as king over them the angel of the abyss, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek, Apollyon. Okay. All right. Good. What else? What else did you find? Okay, that's a characteristic. Hang on to that one a minute. What other names did you find? Do what? Okay, that's another characteristic. Hang on to that one. Okay, the devil, he's referred to. Yeah. You know, he's referred to as the devil. Right? I mean, that's one of the names that we find that he's referred to as. Matthew 13, verse 39. John 13, in verse 2. The Bible just simply refers to him as the devil. See, so that's a legitimate name for him, isn't it? Okay. What other names did you find? Lucifer, someone said. Okay, all right. Diabolos, okay, all right. What about the dragon? Okay, he's referred to as the dragon. The another one is the serpent. Okay, that great serpent or the dragon. Also, Belial. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse, or 2 Corinthians 6 rather, verse 15 is referred to as Belial. So, do what now? Oh, we have him here, don't we? Y'all have to realize this. I don't know how many of you understand this or not, but you know, when we were first starting up our KFC program here back several years ago, and we were doing the puppet ministry, we're putting all that together, and we're trying to decide who's going to be. I think y'all need to know this just so that you know the character of some folks that we have, you see. And we're discussing who different characters were going to be and so forth. And we were discussing that with Tom and Lynette, and we had talked about Tom being the devil. And Lynette, in the middle of a whole restaurant, shouts out, "I want to be the devil," you know. So we were able to satisfy her by saying, "That's okay, Lynette, you just be the devil's wife, okay?" And but so anyway, I just want you to know, okay, there are a lot of different names that the Bible has for this creature, this being that we generally refer to as Satan or the devil. Now let me just throw this out at you. What's the devil look like? Well, he's got a red suit on. He's got horns and a tail with an arrow point at the end of it, right? And he carries a red pitchfork, right, that he shoots fire out of. You know, whenever you see, really, in a sense, that's in a cartoon character of Satan, so to speak. There's a lot of medieval art that depicts Satan in that kind of a general way. But Satan can appear in a lot of different ways, can't he? Because he's a spiritual being. Okay? Yeah. Okay? Now, let's talk about some of the characteristics of Satan. What are some of the descriptives that the Scriptures, some of you threw those out a few moments ago. I want you to hold those off for a second. What are some of the ways that Satan is described in the Scriptures? Not just his name, that really tell us, give us some insight into the nature of Satan himself. How is he described again? Okay, the deceiver, the liar, the accuser. Okay, he's a fallen angel. Do what? A liar, okay. A lion, okay, all right. Exactly. Prince of darkness, the ruler of this world, the god of this world. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4 describes him as the god of this world, okay. He's described in Ephesians 2 and verse 4 as the prince of the power of the air. Okay. He's described in Matthew 4 and verse 3 as the tempter. Okay? The tempter. We'll talk about that in just a moment. He's described in Matthew 13 verse 19 and verse 38 as the wicked one. Okay? Let's see. I think we just mentioned the prince of this world, John 12 verse 31. So when we look at these kinds of statements, what other ones did you find, by the way? The lawless one, okay? What else? Okay, all right. Okay. Well, I'm looking at these kind of descriptives that give us some insight into the character of Satan, the nature of him. Okay, what do we see from these kinds of things? Do what? All negative. Okay, what else? Okay. Destructive. Against God. Okay. Okay. What else? What do you see in this character of Satan? Okay, all right. Conniving. Okay. See, here's what I'm wanting you to be aware of. This is where I really want to focus on this is, you know, when we talk about warfare, okay, and Dale's a soldier. He can help me out with this, okay? When we talk about warfare, there are a couple of things that are vitally important if you want to be victorious in warfare, okay? And one of those things is that you need to know your own strength. Right, you need to know yourself. What do I have going for me? What's on my side? What are my defenses and all that? The other thing that you need to know is your enemy. Okay, you need to know your enemy. You need to know what his strengths are and what his weaknesses are. Okay, and in this case, when we're talking about spiritual warfare, you better be rest assured that Satan knows you. Okay, he knows what your strengths and weaknesses are. Think about it this way. Why do you keep struggling with the same sins over and over and over again in your life? Or am I the only one in the room that does that? Okay, it's just me? Okay, all right, never mind. But you know, I think that mainly is because Satan knows that's a weakness for us, okay? He knows where every one of us is weak. And that's where he keeps attacking you, you see? Okay, just as an illustration, I was thinking about this the other day. Just as a way to illustrate this, I am a person who cannot be tempted by coffee. Okay, it's not a temptation to me. You know, I cannot in my mind understand why anybody would pay $5 for a cup of coffee. That just boggles my mind. For those of you who do that, you know, that's beyond me. Okay. You know, put a cup of coffee in front of me. It'll sit there till it grows ice cold. I have no desire for coffee. But, you know, if someone were to invent and come out with a business instead of Starbucks and call it chocolates, you know, and it was just nothing but pure, now that's where I'd have a problem, okay? You put chocolate in front of me, it's going to be gone if you turn your back on it, okay? I'm just warning you, okay? Because again, my point is that one is not a temptation for me at all. The other one is a big temptation. And I think in each of our lives, we have those kinds of things. There are some things that are temptations for one that are not a temptation for someone else. And your enemy, the devil, Satan, the wicked one, the prince of this world, all those other descriptives, he knows where you're weak. And that's why we keep struggling with the same things over and over and over again, you say, because he knows that's a weakness for us. Okay? And that's where he's going to keep on attacking us. Now, in this spiritual warfare that we are in, what do we need to do in order to help defend ourselves? We got to learn to know our enemy, don't we? Okay? And so as we look at these characteristics of Satan, I want us to be able to kind of zero in and focus on the nature of our enemy here so that we understand what we are really up against here so we can be better able to defend ourselves against them. Rick? Yeah. Not aware of that, you see, then you're going to be more vulnerable to him, aren't you? When you look at this idea of him being a deceiver, a great deceiver, he's a liar, okay? Let me ask you this question. Go back to, again, what's our text on spiritual warfare? Ephesians chapter 6, put on the full armor of God. And that which you can take your stand against the devil's, help me, schemes, okay, what does that imply? well, not just temptation, but yeah, he's crafty. It's the trickery, and he's always scheming. He's always trying. And so we have to do that. Well, here he's the father of lies. Not just a liar, he's the father of lies, the Bible says, right? What's the very first piece of armor that Paul mentions in Ephesians 6? Now, not the armor, too. He says the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Why do you need that? To be able to defend myself against Satan's lies. You see? So when I understand, not just intellectually, but I understand right here that I'm dealing with the father of lies. He is a master at it. Then hopefully that tells me and convinces me even more that I need to put that belt on. You see? And I'm not going to go out into life without that belt of truth around my waist. Because I'm going up against the father of lies. And I need something that's going to help me to be able to see through those lies so I can see the truth. Let me ask you this question. How many times a day do you suppose that Satan tells you a lie? How does he do that? Give me some examples of some of the lies that he tells you. Do what? Yeah, everybody else is doing it, right? Okay. Just this one. What other kind of lies is he telling? What? Yeah, I don't know. Liar! Now she's meddling here. Oh, yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
Ooh, I need to worry about that one. Yeah, exactly. Well, what, you know, what are some of the lies? If we're not aware of them, then how are we going to know that they're lies? But that's too obvious, Rick. Well, I'm telling you, Satan doesn't tell you that every day, does he? But what does he tell you? What does he tell you personally? Okay. 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 How about you're not a good person? How about she doesn't really love you? He doesn't love you. He doesn't care about you. Do you think those people over there really care? How about stuff like that? Okay. Okay. You see, we need to be aware of the nature of this enemy that we have, so that, you know, when we're hearing those lies, we realize the seriousness of putting that belt of truth on so we can be able to see through those lies. You see? Because Satan is telling us those things so he can destroy our life. What better way to destroy our life than perhaps maybe destroy our marriage and our family, for instance? Oh, sure he does. If that's your weakness, that's exactly what he's going to do. You see? That's exactly what he's going to do. And so when we recognize his nature, you see, then we recognize the seriousness. So, yeah, if I'm facing the father of lies, I'm going to put that belt of truth on. Help me to be able to see through those lies. You see? If I know that he's going to be attacking my faith, see, then I begin to see the importance of carrying that shield of faith, see, with which we can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, he says. See? and sometimes it's where we think. What does Paul tell us? Let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. Oh, I don't have a problem with that. Yeah. Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. See? And that's where he will get you. You go back to Genesis chapter 4, there's a description here that that God gives to Cain. See? That we need to be aware of. Listen to what he says here as he's talking to Cain. This is chapter 4, verse 6. The Lord says to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you." Okay? What kind of a picture does that form in your mind here? What kind of picture is that form? That's a question, by the way. Okay? But isn't it like that lion that's there just kind of waiting? You ever seen a cat? You know, you got a cat and the cat's out there stalking and it's getting ready and, you know, and there's that mouse or that bird and, you know? That's what he's picturing here. What we have to understand is that Satan is aggressive. Okay? He's aggressive at trying to attack us. He is waiting for us to be in that vulnerable position so that he can pounce on us. Okay? He's waiting for us to get there. You know, that little bird that's just kind of walking around on the ground looking for worms and not paying attention, and all of a sudden, boom, next thing you know, feathers are flying all over the place. Because the bird allowed itself to get in a vulnerable position. Hey, listen, how often do we know what our weaknesses are and we allow ourselves to get into a vulnerable position? You know, you hang out with those people that you know, do certain things that are a problem for you, but you do it anyway. You go to those places that you know you shouldn't be going because you're weak there, you know, and so forth. Or, you know, you're flipping through the channels on that TV set and you know this is a weakness and you stop there anyway. You see? And you're making yourself vulnerable. And there is Satan. He's crouched down there waiting to pounce on us. We've got to be aware of this, right? Never know. Well, yeah, but I agree with you. You know, there's all these things just kind of come up, and then people start questioning their faith. They start asking, well, how could God let something like this happen? And, you know, all those kinds of things. Okay? So, yeah, things like that. Stephanie, do you have any hand up? Okay. We have to be aware, the more aware that we are of, you know, the nature and the character of Satan, our enemy, then the better we can stand against him. We can fight in this warfare that we are in. If we're not, if we just kind of take it all casually and, you know, we consider that Satan is that, you know, little cartoon character, you know, he's the, you know, the guy in the red suit with the horns and the pitchfork and the long tail, it's more of a cartoon than it is anything else, then we're not going to take him seriously. Okay? We're not going to take him seriously. And that's why I asked you earlier, you know, we have to seriously consider the whole question, what does Satan really look like? And he's not going to come at you and go, okay, here's sin. I'm getting ready to tempt you here. So, you know, he's not going to do that to us. Sometimes we may be entertaining Satan unaware in ways that we ought not be entertaining him. You see? And, you know, so we have to be careful about that. And he does, as, you know, Lynette brought out to us too, you know, the scriptures tell us he masquerades as what? As an angel of light. You know? And so we always have to be on our guard. But you know, we've got to know, we've got to be aware of his nature, you see, and what his goal is. And that is to deceive us so he can pull us away from God. That's what he wants to do. And how he does it, he's got all kinds of ways. Okay, sure. Absolutely. He'll use anything and everything he possibly can to accomplish his goal. Okay, Stephanie? Okay. Now, let's take some time and look at a particular scripture that has to do with, at least in the mind of some, with this, the whole situation that gives us perhaps some insight into Satan's actual fall. Okay, you know, as we said earlier, and we were looking at last week, you know, that Satan was created by God as one of the good angels, and he rebelled against God. But what about this rebellion? What's it all about? And what is there anything from the scriptures that give us any kind of an indication as to what happened and so forth? Now, before we look at what the scriptures teach, let me tell you about. I was watching on Friday. I was watching the History Channel International, and they had a segment on there about Satan. Okay, and all of these Bible scholars had offered this explanation as to what the cause of the fall of Satan was. Okay, and basically what they were stating was that. Satan, being a created being and being of a higher order than man, okay, that God had commanded the angels to not only serve but to worship man. Okay? And Satan decided that he was not going to serve, be subservient to a creation that was lower than he was. And that's why he rebelled against God. Because he just refused, because he was so much superior than man, and he refused to be a servant to someone or a creature that was less than he. And so God cast him out of heaven, you know, this big battle took place, so forth. And the interesting thing about that whole dialogue, as I sat and listened to these scholars, I kept asking myself, where did he get this stuff from? You know, where does that come from? Okay. I don't know of anything in the scriptures that indicates that the reason that Satan rebelled against God was because God commanded him and the other angels to serve man and to worship them, and so Satan was angry about that. You can take that for what it's worth. What does the Bible indicate to us as a possible reason? If we understand the text of what it's saying, gives us, I think, a little bit of insight into a possibility of what really was going on there in heaven. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 14. Now, we're dealing with prophecy here, and whenever we're dealing with prophecy, one of the things that we have to keep in mind is that prophecies oftentimes have a dual application, okay? In other words, there's an application that it's mainly the context of saying, yes, this is specifically what this is about. But then there's also oftentimes another application that particular statement or text has. In other words, it can be applied in this way also. And you look at that and you go, okay, that's a possibility. And this text in Isaiah chapter 14 is one of those texts. Is it beyond any kind of a doubt, this is exactly what happened and this is what it's saying? No, I'm not going to say that. I take the position that I think this is a dual application here. It's telling us about two different events. Okay? But what I think it does is it gives us some insight into what the reason was for this fall. If you look in Isaiah chapter 14, look at it. Now, this context that it's talking about in the broad general sense is talking about what? Anybody have any idea? It's talking about the fall of Babylon, okay, and what God is going to do to Babylon. That is the physical kingdom of Babylon at that time, okay? But then within this, we get this little bit of insight. Okay, beginning in verse 12. Look at what it says here. How you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you are brought down to the grave, to the depths of the pit. Now, there are a lot of scholars, and I'm in agreement with them, okay? There are a lot of scholars who believe that this text is that dual application that gives us this indication as to what actually happened with Satan and then this battle that took place. The word in Hebrew that is used here for morning star, the word means Lucifer. Okay, and that's one of the names that is attributed to Satan. But if you look at this, what are some of the things that we see from this text that would give us an indication of what actually took place? Yeah. Yeah. Not just like him, but he wanted to be what? He wanted to be better than God, you see. He wanted to sit on the highest place, you see. As it says here, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. You see? And so we get, in a, at least there's this indication from this text here that possibly what took place was this rebellion on the part of Satan and his angels, as we've talked about before, that Satan rebelled because he wanted to take God's position. He thought he was, you know, more powerful than God and wanted to take over and replace God with himself. Someone says, well, but why would he do that? Well, Satan's a created being. Men are created beings. Have we ever had that problem with mankind before? Yeah, happens all the time, doesn't it? You see? Over and over and over again. So why is it difficult for us to believe that that same thing happened with Satan, that he wanted that highest position of power and authority? One of the things that we see in this text here, and from, you know, from the other things that we see about Satan, it, you know, there are a lot of biblical scholars that look at the whole situation, that it's possible that at one time when first created, that Satan was almost like the head angel. Like he had the highest authority under God, under the Godhead itself, but of all of the angels, it's a possibility that Satan, you know, he had the next spot, you see. And that, you know, you look at this and you're going, you know, that position that he found himself in was too much for him to handle. And he thought, well, you know, hey, all I got to do is, you know, take care of God and then I've got everything. Okay? Not realizing the limited nature of the creation against the Creator. Wes? I can do it just as well as he can. Yeah. Dale? All right, go ahead and read that one for us. Yeah. Go ahead. Well, how much time we got? We got a few minutes here. Just read the section there that specifically. Go ahead.
Yeah.
this is another parallel text. This one, in its immediate context, has to do with the king of Tyre. Okay, very similar to the situation with the king of Babylon. Okay, but when you look at what is the wording here that is given, what is it telling us? What's it giving us some insight into? All of those characteristics that we were talking about of an angel, a created one, who desires that top position. And here, even talking about being a guardian what? Guardian cherub. Okay. Loris? Okay. There are those who will say that. Yeah. Did it give any other insight into that at all? Okay. But is it saying that they're two different people or two different entities? Yeah. So what do we see from this? What's the picture from these texts? You go over to Revelation 12, a text we've looked at before, talking about this warfare that took place in heaven. We've looked at these passages before, so we know from the Scriptures that there was some kind of a battle in heaven. There was warfare going on, and that Satan, the dragon, was cast out and so forth. Does that not match these texts here in Isaiah and Ezekiel, that picture of this warfare that's going on, this attempt at a coup, so to speak, and being cast down out of the heavenly realms. Dale? It's going to take place, right. Well, again, in trying to figure out prophecy, there are those that say this battle that it's talking about in Revelation is another battle that takes place at the end time. But again, sometimes it's difficult to really be able to put your finger on and say this is exactly what it is. That's the nature of prophecy sometimes. We can see that definitely there was a battle in heaven. At some point. We know that because Satan's already out doing his thing, isn't he? This is possible that this is a referring to what's taken place and what's going to take place, both the same thing. It's also possible it's just talking about what's going to happen, at the end times when Satan is finally subdued and so forth. The text in I think it's 22. I don't remember now. That gives a little bit more insight into that. That tends to, for me, to believe that one is specifically talking about the final judgment, and so forth. So, all right. What else? Okay. I hope that this part of our discussion is kind of gets you a little bit more aware of the nature of Satan, and my goal here is for that all of us will begin, at least if we haven't already, to start taking Satan a lot more seriously than perhaps maybe we have. It's not a matter of us being paranoid. That's not the point. We don't have to be paranoid. We've got the power of the Holy Spirit on our side, okay? But it's a matter of us being aware Satan's nature and his character so that we can be better able to defend ourselves against his attacks on our lives. We realize that that's what's going on. Okay? Judy? Okay. Right. Our selfish or sinful nature, Paul talks about it, right.
So,
Now, next week we're going to begin to finish our study, okay? Does that make sense? We really have one more category that I want us to spend some time on, and that's talking about the angel of Jehovah. Okay, we want to look at that. Well, there's a lot of different passages that talk about this angel of Jehovah. We want to talk about who that is. Let's try to identify that angel of Jehovah from the Scriptures. I don't know if we're going to be finishing, get through all of that next week. We may. Just depends on what discussion we have. If not, we will finish it the following week. I don't see us spending any more time than that on this. But that's where we're going with this, to finish up our study. It's just, so I want to encourage you to look up some passages on the angel of Jehovah, and we'll finish. And then Dale is going to, when we do finish this, either next week or the following week, after that, Dale will be beginning a study that's in a sense kind of going to be a pickup from here where we've been going, and the text he's going to be using is C.S. Lewis's The Screwtape Letter. So if you you might want to get a copy of that and read on it and kind of help with our discussions and so forth. Anything else you want to say on that, Dale? Okay. Okay.